God's grace to you and his peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through the seven last words of Christ. Tonight we pick up the sixth, the seven words. We pick up the word, because it's one word in the Greek, tetelestai, meaning it is finished. And when Jesus says it is finished, what is he kind of referring to? In one essence, the phrase means it is done. It's over with. And in another essence, the phrase means it is accomplished. Is there a nuance between the two? Well, there is a little bit of a nuance. In tonight's text, we'll pick up that little bit of that nuance, it is finished, with a couple ways. These words can mean, let's first of all start with, it's over. It's done with. You can sort of think of it as sort of a little bit of a frown. Think of it as feeling maybe a little depressed. Maybe some deep sadness. It can happen when a husband and wife are not getting along and the love between them gradually dies. Either the husband or the wife will say to one another, "It's over. I'm done. It's finished. We need a divorce." The phrase, it is finished, also has that same similar nuance when a company is downsizing. And the employees are getting their pink slips. The employment relationship now has ended. It's done. You're fired. Your job is finished. In the hospital, when someone is dying and all the vital signs from the monitors seem to go to zero, you know it's over. It's done. It is finished. In all these everyday situations, the word "it's finished" means over and done with. And at that point, there usually isn't a lot of jumping up and down. There's not a lot of rejoicing. Usually there's grief, there's pain, and there's sorrow. It is finished has that meaning and that connotation. Our Lord and Savior uses that meaning for us tonight as he says, it is finished. Jesus notes using these words, it's over, it's done with. Not necessarily at this point with a joyous, triumphal explanation point, but maybe also with a little bit of grief. The previous relationship has now been severed. It's now over. It's now done with. You can describe it as death, a divorce, or in one essence, you're sort of fired from this relationship. What relationship are we now separated from because of Jesus' death? The same relationship we were born into. As the psalmist reminds us, from the moment we were conceived, we are sinful. We have to remember back when Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden, that sin entered the world and corrupted God's creation. Adam and Eve now no longer belong to God who was their creator, but now belong to devil, to sin, to death. That is how we were born. That is how all humanity was born, with the exception of Adam and Eve. Born in that relationship with sin, death, and the devil. Not into a relationship with a loving, caring father, but into the relationship of the evil one. So when Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, it is finished, it is now over, it's now done with, that relationship we have had with sin, death, and the devil has been severed. You could describe this as we were once prisoners. We were once slaves to sin, death, and the devil. And now we have been set free. We were ruined. We were dead. And now we live. Jesus, with his words, it is finished, notes that our relationship with sin, death, and the devil has been severed. and has freed prisoners of war, a war between God and the devil, we were enslaved to our sinful nature because of sin. But now it is finished. Our slavery has come to an end and our status of being a prisoner of war is over. We are freed. And so you may be begging the question and saying, Pastor, if we are freed prisoners of war, why are we not rejoicing at this point? Why are we looking at it is finished in sort of a done way, a frowned way, a depressed way? And we need to begin there. Because that's how slavery works. You see, our old sinful nature, which we still have, is still familiar to sin, death, and the devil. Our old nature still wants to be connected to sin, death, and the devil. It's sort of like an old pair of shoes. You're comfortable with it. You like wearing them. It fits well. Let me illustrate it this way. When someone is suffering in an abused relationship, their friends and their relatives and their neighbors might be saying, come on, get out of it. Don't be there anymore. But it's hard for them to move. Eventually, they might get to the point where they leave that abusive relationship. And when the day comes and when they're out of that abusive relationship, some people might be rejoicing. But to the person who has been abused, something very important must take place. The person needs to change. If the person does not change, more than likely, they will seek out another abusing relationship. Why? Because it's comfortable. It's something they're familiar with. It may sound strange to you, and I hope and pray it sounds strange to all of you. But if you have been in an abused relationship, or if you know of others in an abusive relationship, you know what I mean. The friends and relatives may rejoice, but unless there is a change, the person usually returns to that abusive relationship. So it is with us as human beings. We have been set free from set free from sin, death, and the devil because of Jesus' death upon the cross. It's now over. It's done with. But unless there is a change, we also will return to the old ways. We also will return to what is comfortable. We will allow ourselves to be enslaved to sin. Now we need to make another change. It is finished. Now we need to make it mean it is accomplished. It is finished now with an exclamation point, meaning the job is now done. The work is now complete. There is now success. Now we can have a joyous celebration, a victory celebration. Not only does Christ defeat sin, death, and the devil, but he also changes us. Through holy baptism, we are become a new creation, a new person. We are changed because now we bear Christ's name. The one who has said it is finished with a celebration of victory. Now we are different. This finished means it is accomplished. This night, as we remember Maundy Thursday, we remember how Jesus gives us his supper. This bread, this wine is the body and blood of Christ. And this supper feeds us. Because as ex-prisoners of war, we still need to be nourished. We need to be strengthened. We have suffered much abuse and pain and misery with our slavery to sin, death, and the devil. And our old nature is strong. So Christ changes us. Not only through baptism, but through the Lord's Supper, he feeds us and nourishes us. He strengthens us. So that we can say no to the old ways and look to the cross of Jesus for strength. we look to the cross of Jesus now and say, it is finished. It is accomplished. Change has been made in our lives. So the Lord gives us His supper to feed us, to strengthen us, to remind us that we do not need to go back to a life enslaved by sin, but that through Christ, our enslavement is finished. It's over. We are changed and we have a victory celebration. And it is now in this mood of victory and explanation, we can hear the words coming from Jesus' lips. It is finished. Now with a smile on our face. Now with rejoicing. These last words of the cross show us our victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus died on the cross, it is finished. It's accomplished. Does one other thing. In this victorious triumphal statement, we are reminded that, yes, Jesus perfectly obeyed God the Father. His whole life was filled without sin. His whole life was filled with love to one another. Jesus personified that love through His whole life. He personified that love and that forgiveness through His teaching. He personified that love and forgiveness in His miracles and at the end of His life. Jesus personified God's love by dying on the cross so that others may live. And as Jesus so died, He said triumphantly, it is finished. I accomplished what God gave me to do in this world, to free humanity from sin, death, and the devil, to change humanity from prisoners of war to ex-prisoners of war, to strengthen us through faith, to give us a new life to live, so that we may live, we may love, and we may forgive, so that we may love others and show forgiveness to others, to remind them that they don't need to be enslaved by sin. You see, God wants us to have the same feeling that Christ did upon the cross. It is accomplished. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God works through you to accomplish His will. It's not us, it's not me, but Christ, who has changed me, now works through me to other people. That is God's plan and purpose. It's not just to save you and to save me, but to save the whole world. And how does God do that? By working through these ex-prisoners of war who have now been changed, who now demonstrate that love and forgiveness. As an ex-POW, as a POW, so to speak, we may feel depressed. As a slave, we may feel worthless, but not anymore. We've been freed. We've been changed. Once we were not useful to anyone, but now we are. God has used the minutes, the hours, the days, the months, the years that we have for His purpose. As we communicate His love and His forgiveness, God's will works through us to accomplish His purpose in our lives. This isn't bragging and saying, I'm doing the will of God, but a way of showing how God has changed you by showing your love and forgiveness to one another. It is now just a fact of life. It is the way that God wants us to feel about ourselves. So as we come to the end of our own lives, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether it is young or old in years, we can say what the Apostle Paul said at best. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. God wants us to feel the same way in our lives. It is finished. We have accomplished God's will because of what Christ has done. Through His death on the cross, He has severed us from sin, death, and the devil. Through His death on the cross, He has recreated us. And through His death on the cross, He has given you purpose in life. God wants you and me to have the same feelings about ourselves when we die. No matter how imperfect, no matter how sinful our life has been, no matter how many shortcomings we may have, none of that can take away what Christ has done when He said it is finished. It accomplishes these threefold points. Separates us from sin, death, and the devil. Recreates us. And now, through faith in Christ, we do God's will. Knowing that, God wants us to feel the same way about our lives as He felt. As He would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. It is finished." God's will has been accomplished through your life. You may not realize it, but any time that you have shown love to someone, you've done God's will. Any time you have forgiven someone, you've done God's will. God doesn't take a look at the shortcomings and sin in our lives. He takes a look at how what He has done through you because of God's grace through faith. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race. You have kept the faith. Henceforth, you shall receive the crown of glory as it is laid upon you in heaven above. That's what the word "it is finished" is all about. In the Gospel of John, written by one of his disciples, at the foot of the cross, he hears Jesus' last words and the spirit of those words with a giant triumphant, "It is finished." Yes, our relationship to sin, death, and the devil is now severed. Our lives have been changed, and Christ now works through us. It has been accomplished. It is finished. But yet He had one more word for us. I guess we have to come tomorrow night for that final word from the cross. But as for this message, it is finished. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.